All right, good morning. Kind of going to do, I guess, two parts to this year. One will be what's in the sources, and then an additional kind of that's more in the psukim themselves. Having said that, we have that classic dispute of the Ramban and Rashi about the order of the Parshios, or the order of the events described in the Parshios that we have, where the Ramban says the order is as follows. Maimed Har Sinai, chronologically at least, command to build the Mishkan, Chet Ha'egel, and then the construction of the Mishkan, versus Rashi, who says it's Maimed Har Sinai, Chet Ha'egel, and then command to build the Mishkan and construction of the Mishkan. And when people boil it down into really basic terminology, they will say that the Ramban views the Mishkan as a lechatchila idea and Rashi as bidyavid. And these are ideas that you're probably already familiar with, but it's worth seeing inside. So Rashi number one basically quotes straight from Midrash Tanchuma when he says, "Ein mukdam muachar b'Torah." There's no true chronology to the Torah. Things can be shifted around. As you can see from his assumption here, the actual order of the Torah when it's written is Maimed Har Sinai and then the command to build the Mishkan, obviously, followed by Chet Ha'egel, but he changes it around. Chronologically, it did not happen like that. Maisa Ego Kodem Litzivoy Meleches HaMishkan Yamim Rabim Haya Trai B'Shiva Asar B'Tamuz Nishtabru Aluchos. The ego came first, and then the Tzivoy Mishkan was a response to that, ostensibly. He was on the 17th of Tammuz, that's when the Luchos were shattered, and then later that year on Yom Kippur, we had the reconciliation. And then the Mishkan begins in earnest. Versus the Ramban in source 2, a slightly longer piece, but he says a number of important points. Kasher Dibar Hashem im Yisrael panim b'panim aseres dibros. When we had that immense moment of Maimed Har Sinai, where Hashem was describing, stating the aseres dibros to us, and we had that tremendous experience. Tzivos amal yedei Moshe k'tas mitzvos shehem kamo avos l'mitzvoseya shel Torah. We were given some fundamental mitzvos that are the kind of general categories for other mitzvos. Vinehem kadoshim, and then I skipped a few lines, and this is kind of Hashem's perspective. Vinehem kadoshim, Kol Yisrael are holy. Royim shiyeh behem mikdash liashros shchinaso beinehem. And it's fit that they should have a mikdash in which my shchina can dwell. So therefore, what we see after Maimed Har Sinai, after Mishpatim, we go straight into the Mishkan. And there they will have the Dibor will be with Moshe specifically, which is what it says in the Pesukim by the Aram. Fine. In the real focus of the Mishkan, the whole point of having the rest of the Mishkan was really for the Aron. That I will speak to you, that's where we will kind of commune, Moshe and Hashem. That's why one thing that's interesting when you're looking at Parshas Truma, for example, is you go Aron, Shulchan, Menorah, and then on through, going further and further out across the Mishkan. And the Ramban sees within that, the Aron comes first because it is the most significant part. Smach la'aron, ha'shulchan, ba'menorah, shem kelim kamohu. And then it goes from the Aron to the Shulchan and Menorah because they are vessels just like it, and then to the outer building, as it were. Here all in Yana Mishkan, Rishab Bavuram Nase of Al Moshe Ikdim, Beparshas Viakel, as a Mishkan, as Alo, as Mechsehu, Echanasa Betzalel, the Fishahu Haroi Lekedim Bemasa. And now we have that idea that they switch it around later because the order that's presented here doesn't make sense when you're actually going to build something. You don't build the furniture first and then the house. You build the house and then the furniture. And now, the part of the Ramban that people quote probably the most often, V'soda Mishkan hu shiye hakavod asher shachan al har Sinai shochen ala pinistar. The real kind of secret of the Mishkan is that it should be, in essence, a continuation of the presence that we had at Har Sinai onwards. That even though Maim at Har Sinai has come to a close, or will come to a close, here, the Mishkan will provide a way to continue that experience. K'moshen ne'amar sham, v'yishchon kavod Hashem al Har Sinai. K'siv hen harenu Hashem elokeinu es kavod ves gadlo. And then later on in Parshas Ve'eschan, and when we describe what happened, when Moshe describes what happened, we saw Hashem Elokeinu, his kavod and his greatness. And similar ideas are stated by the Mishkan. Kankasuba Mishkan, Bekod Hashem Male is a Mishkan, Iskir Bemishkan Shne Pa Mim, Bekavod Hashem Male is a Mishkan. It says twice that the kavod, the glory of Hashem, filled the Mishkan. Keneged es kavodo es gadlo. And those two times correspond to kavodo es gadlo. Vaiba Mishkan Tamid im Yisrael Hakavo Shineri Lehem Bahar Sina. So, on its own, it's a very powerful idea that the Mishkan isn't, to put it in very basic terminology, b'di'evid, but it's really meant to be there. And it's meant to be there as a continuation of what the experience and the presence of Hashem at Har Sinai. And this is something that really Rashi and the Ramban can both pull from Chazal. Rashi is basically quoting directly from Midrash Tanhuma, and the Ramban himself has a variety of different midrashim that he can pull in support of his position. One Gemara that I saw people quote, I can't remember exactly where I saw this quoted, but it's very fascinating to see, is in Source 3 with the Gemara Menachos. Where obviously the idea of Eish being a part of Hashem's presence at Har Sinai is clear. And there's this idea that there were certain mitzvos that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with. And connected to that idea is this following braisa. Tanya Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer. Aron shal eish, v'shulchan shal eish, menorah shal eish, yardu min shemayim. There's an Aron, Shulchan, Menorah, all of fire, descended from the heavens. Re Moshe v'asa chamosam. Moshe saw them. Ra Moshe v'asa chamosam. Moshe saw them and made in their likeness. Shenamar v're v'asa k'tav nisam, asher ata mare bahar. Elemat. So the Gemara just has a difficulty. In the first pasuk that it quotes, it says k'tav nisam. We have a pasuk slightly later on in the next parak. It says "Vakomesa es a mishkan kemishpato," but it really should have continued "Asher haresa bahar," that you saw haresa bahar, that you saw on the mountain. That should have been the ending of the pasuk, but it doesn't say that. So in the one about Moshe putting up the Mishkan Kamishpato, there it just says according to its order. It's talking about the entire Mishkan with the beams and the Urios, etc. Whereas specific to these Kalim, it says Ketav Nisan. There only they descended in forms of H. But on the surface of things, why did it, you know, why Eish? Wouldn't it make sense for Hashem just to show him this is what the Shulchan will look like? Just show him a gold one. That what it will actually look like. Why? What's the significance of Eish? Perhaps it's being linked into the fact that Eish played a big part in Hashem's presence on Har Sinai, and as in so much as these are a continuation of that experience, having them being shown to Moshe in Eish drives that home to Moshe and in turn to us. But this is all meant to be in a continuation of that experience. And just to see another place where the Ramban brings out this idea, and he takes it very seriously, in his comments on Parshas Ve'eschanan, and also in his his hasagos, like his notes, I guess it's not the right translation, but his notes to Sefer HaMitzvos, where he has a whole section at the end of Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, where he says, these are the mitzvos ase and mitzvos lot ase that the Rambam forgot. And one of those is the isser of forgetting Ma'amid Har Sinai. And what the Torah says, again, Parshas Va'estanan, Raki Shamer Lecha Ushmor Nafshcha Ma'od Pen Tishkach Es Edvarim Asher Ra'u Einecha Ufen Yisoru Milvavecha Kol Yimei Chayecha Ve'odatam Levanecha Levivnei Vanecha. Be very careful that you don't forget anything, that you, any of the things that you saw, and don't remove them from your heart. Hakasu Vazeh, Ramban says, Lefi Dati Mitzvahs Lo Tase. It's an actual formal Lo Tase. It's not just a general idea. And the Rambam would argue against that, just saying that this, it's too general. It includes the entire Torah, so it can't be its own mitzvah. Shelo tishchach ma'amid har Sinai, makola devarim esheru, sham einecha, akolos v'alipidim, es kavodo v'es gadlo, udvar v'asher shemate, sham etocha esh. Again, saying esh. Mine kodom shiyaskir dibros shenemru sham, hisir b'mitzvot lo ta'aseh shelo nishchach davar mina ma'amid ahu, v'lo nasiru milo v'enu lo'ova. Again, just seeing the importance in the Ramban's worldview of the, remembering Ma'amid Har Sinai, always having it in our consciousness, and seeing that that is his view of the Mishkan, that it's a continuation of that. I didn't have time to translate this, unfortunately, but if you look, this is his, again, the Ramban in his introduction to Sefer Shemos. Actually, before we see that, what I wanted to do in the second part, which we'll kind of use this as the transition to that, was take a step back, and when you look at Sefer Shemos in kind of a big picture sense, some very interesting things happen. And then that, when you have that big picture sense in mind, when you look at Parshas Truma, and especially Tetzaveh, this week's Parsha, I think it really reinforces the following theme, which is not my idea. It's I was listening to a shiur from Dr. Yael Ziegler, which was recorded at one of the Yom Ion in that Gush, where she does this. She looks at the whole Mivne, the construction of Sefer Shemos, and describes a couple of the different approaches that people have had in the past. And the one that she adopts is a three-part approach. That chapters 1 through 15 of Shemos are focused on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then from 19 to 24 is Matan Torah. And 25 through the end in Perek Mem of 40 is building the Mishkan. So you have Exodus, receiving the Torah, and then the Mishkan. And obviously, what I just said there skipped 16 through 18 because that's the parshas of the parak where we deal with Yisrael. And where does that belong? Is it? It's kind of a question. It's really a side issue, though. And she says a number of very powerful ideas that this construction tells us the following, that the fact that we go from Yetzias Mitzrayim straight to Matan Torah and the building of a Mishkan versus just being free tells us that we weren't, this is kind of a rough quote, that we weren't freed purely for the sake of being free, that was the end game. Rather, we were freed in order that Hashem should be, Yashrei Shechina, so that he should have his Shechina amongst us, that we should be a dwelling place for the Shechina, and that physical freedom really lacks meaning, she says, without any sort of hitchayavut ruchani, without any sort of spiritual obligation following in its following in suit. And part of where she sees these ideas beyond just the general structure of Sefer Shemos is in this introduction to the Ramban. We're in the second paragraph, the end of the second line, where it says, Vehine, Vihine hagalus einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el makomam v'malas avosam yeshuvam. Galus isn't just leaving Mitzrayim, it's you also have to go back to the place, to the loftiness which your forefathers had achieved. Once you get back to that place, then you've really left behind exile, or slavery, as it were. And kashiyatsu me Mitzrayim, afo pishiyatsu me beis avadim, adayin yachshvu golem. They were still considered in galus, in exile, even though they had left Mitzrayim. Gayu ba'aretz lo lahem nevuchim b'midbar, because we were out in the midbar. Kashibo el har sinai v'asu mishkan v'shav ha-kadosh baruch hu l'hishra shechinas o'beinehem as shavu el malas avosam. However, once we reached Har Sinai and Hashem renewed the dwelling of the Shekhinah upon us or amongst us, then we returned to the Mile of our forefathers. Shaya Sod Eloka Alayalehem Vehem Hem Amirkava Az Nechshvo Geulim. And at that point we were considered Geulim, truly redeemed. Lechen Nishlam Asefer Azeh Bashlimo Inyon Amishkan Bioso Kavod Hashem Malayoso Tamid. And then really seeing, again, that significance of the Mishkan. And there are two places here, which I don't think I'd even notice when I was putting this together. The end of Source 2, Vaya b'mishkan tamid in Yisrael kavo shinyari lehem bar Sinai, the idea of tamid, and also the very last word of the Hakdama in Source 5 is tamid, which is one of the things I want to point out specifically in Parshas Tetzaveh, which when you look at, even going back further to Truma, really, I think there's only one example in Truma. Yeah. We had the command, V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti b'sorocham, and then the first step is building the Aron. And the second step is the Shulchan. In the very last pasuk of that section of the Shulchan, V'nasata al ha-shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. You should always have lechem panim before me. Obviously, halachically, what does tamid mean literally all the time, or what exactly does tamid mean? But in the simple sense, tamid means always. And then when you continue on to Parshas Tetzaveh, this idea of tamid and other terminology that carries somewhat of the same meaning picks up a lot, where by just the very term, ner tamid. But not just that, but that it should be Yarocho so Aron Ovanov Me'ervad Boker Lifnei Hashem Chukas Olam, should be a permanent institution. Ladorosam Me'es Ben Eser. And again, Ladorosam, so Chukas Olam and Ladorosam both pop up there by the Ner Tamid. And we see with the Ephod and the Choshen also the terminology of Zikaron or Lifnei Hashem Al Shtei Chasepav. Luzikaron, and then the Choshen again. Luzikaron lifnei Hashem tamid. It says it actually twice by the Choshen, the term tamid, and by the Tzit later on as well. Vayal mitzcho tamid l'raton lehem lifnei Hashem. In a number of other places, it uses the terminology of Chok Olam, Chak Olam, Chukas Olam, and it all culminates here with the carbon tamid. Of all things, it throws in the carbon tamid, which in terms of what happened right before, we have the description of what you should do to sanctify the Mishkan, the Meluah. That has nothing to do with the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid ostensibly is just a non sequitur. But in terms of this idea that the Ramban and in turn Dr. Ziegler are bringing out, that the whole point is a continuation of the Maimed Har Sinai experience and of being in Hashem's presence, tamid. The carbon tamid makes a lot of sense. That's part of the way we want to structure our lives. Especially when we had the Mishkan. Now that we don't have the Mishkan, perhaps shuls or other experiences can take that place, or try and get us to that place. And another thing that she notes is in kind of deciding how to end a section, start a new section, one of the tools that she notes from Yehuda Kiel, who I think contributed to Mikra, is that oftentimes a section in Tanakh will end with either a Shira or Signon Ram, either some song like Shira Sayam ends a section, or Signon Ram, some sort of lofty language or terminology or phrase. And when you look at the end of the Karban Tamid, unlike all the other sections where maybe it will end with some concept of Tamid, but it will essentially flow into the next section, here, all of a sudden, it presents us Olas Tamid L'dor Seichem Pesach Ola Moed Lifnei Hashem Asher Ibaed Lechem Shama L'dabar Elecha Sham No'adati L'shama Livnei Yisrael V'nikdash B'chvodi B'kitashti S.O.L. Moed V'ezam Mizbeach V'ez Aron V'ez Bana V'akadesh L'chahein Li V'shechanti B'sof B'nei Yisrael V'aisi Lehem L'lehim. And I will dwell within B'nei Yisrael, and I will be for them a God. V'yadu ki ani Hashem Elohechem Elohim Asher Hotesi Osam Eretz Mitzrayim Shlishachni Besocham Ani Hashem Elohim. And you will know that I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt, etc. All of a sudden, it's describing going back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, which again reinforces Dr. Ziegler's idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim was intended to flow into this, and that you can't have freedom, true freedom, without having some sort of spiritual obligation coming in its heels or on its heels. And the fact that that is specifically being stated here by the Karban Tamid kind of ends this section, and this is really the climax of it, but reinforces that idea of constantly being in Hashem's presence, and that being part of our goal in life. And it was a very good shiur. I meant to put this source on here. Obviously, she's speaking Hebrew, but it's very clear Hebrew. And just to conclude here, in source 6, we have Rav Rabinovich and his running commentary on the Mishneh Torah called Yad Peshuta, which unfortunately we don't have a copy here. I think they have one uptown, but not here. It's on Otsar though, and it's a very it's a fascinating commentary. It's almost complete, and this is in the very first volume here, where he goes through just the Hakdama and Sefer Mitzvos of the Rambam, and he points out something interesting that typically we assume the Rambam, or many people assume that the Rambam, because of what he says in Mor Nevuchim, maybe felt that Karbanos would be, you know, outmoded or out of date, or maybe not even practiced in our times. Which, there are many different ways of arguing against that, that it's clearly not what the Rambam felt. Both from within the Mor Nevuchim, where it's clear that he doesn't believe that, or just from the fact that he has an enormous section on Karbanos in the Mishneh Torah, and that he believes that no mitzvahs can be nullified. But even within the literary structure of Sefer Mitzvos, Rabbi Rabinovich points something out fascinating. That the column on the right is the Mitzvos Aseh, and on the left is Mitzvos Lo Taseh, and he has Hashkafos, these fundamental, you know, Yesodei HaTorah, the basic beliefs that we have within Judaism. And then the very next section that he goes into in Sefer Mitzvos is Hamikdash V'Karbanos V'Tahara. Which, if you really take what he says in the Mor Nevuchim as being his fundamental position that overrides everything else, this doesn't make any sense. Why, right after Hashkafos, do you have the Mikdash? That implies that Mikdash is linked into something very fundamental. Why would that be before number three there of Tzedakos, of Tzedakah, and Isuri Ma'achos, etc.? Or number six, Hacharis Hamidos. Doesn't make any sense. Rather, it's clear that there's something very fundamental. Perhaps it's the exact idea that the Ramban and Dr. Ziegler kind of refines even further, that it's the idea of having that hitchayvut ruchanit, of having that spiritual obligation of being before Hashem Tamid, being brought out by the structure of Sefer Shmos and some of these details within our parsha. And then the same thing happens with mitzvahs lo taseh and in the structure of the Mishneh Torah itself, where it's built out of 14 svarim, and it's two sections of seven, Rabinovich says. The first section is basically for the individual, the yachid, and there are certain things that kind of go out of that category here and there, but it's really, they're just included in it for some ancillary reason. And then the second section, the first section begins with Mada and ends with Zeraim, and then the second section deals with community, with the Chevra, and that begins with Karbanos, which also, it's very similar to here in Sefer HaMitzvos, where Mikdash and, or really Avoda and Mada link in together, where in Mikdash and Hashkafos link in together, that there's something very fundamentally, there's a fundamental link between the two. And again, it's that idea of being before Hashem Tamid. Thank you. Good Shabbos, and Chag Purim Sameach. I'm assuming there's no Chabur next week.